Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is the show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. In this episode, we're talking with Samantha, and that's not her real name, by the way. She has an interesting story, and it has to do with a medical condition that she's had since childhood. Samantha has hyperinsomnia. I'm sure you already know about insomnia, maybe actually even experience it from time to time, but what Samantha has is hyperinsomnia. That's more than just trouble sleeping sometimes. For her, it means that she typically goes about 8 days at a time without having any sleep. Can you imagine going more than a week with no sleep? In this conversation, we talked about the medical aspect of it and what's actually going on. She also has some other medical issues that kind of complicate things. I also asked her the question she probably gets asked more than any other, what do you do with all that extra awake time? We talked about the advantages and the disadvantages of this particular condition, and I also asked her, if there were a cure for this, would you accept it? There are some online resources available to learn more about hyperinsomnia, and Samantha also has a blog where she talks about it in detail, and I'll have those links in the show notes for this episode, which is at whatwasthatlike.com/03, since this is episode number 3. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Samantha. All right, Samantha, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really interested to tell people all about this, since not many people have it.
Yes, it does sound like it's something that's interesting and unusual. What's the longest you've ever gone without having any sleep?
I've gone 8 straight days without sleep.
8 straight days. It's hard for me to imagine that. You must have a hard time explaining that to people, right? How you can go all that time without sleeping?
Well, most people that are kind of close to me have seen it. They've been around me my whole life, so they've watched, even after sporting events, things like that, I don't really sleep, I would say, if I was reading or something. But for people that haven't been around me and don't know, once I explain about the hyperinsomnia, and it's along with chronic insomnia, there's 14 different types, and mine kind of roll one into the other because it's an unspecified case. It's every time they've tested me for the sleep study, they've found the same thing, but they also have seen a little bit different reactions to the medications they've made me take as well.
Okay. So it's kind of an ongoing experiment, sort of?
Yes, I'm on my third. I've done my third sleep study now. I've done one that was a 2-night, and both of the other ones have been a week long.
Is hyperinsomnia the actual medical diagnosis, or is there another name for it?
They call it unspecified hyperinsomnia.
Okay, and what does that mean in layman's terms?
In layman's terms, the easiest way to explain it is that my theta and beta waves run at the same time. The theta is what tells your brain it's awake and you're conscious and doing things. Your delta is what tells your brain to go to sleep, and that's what helps you run through your sleep cycles. Mine don't stop. They run in unison at all times.
So you're sort of, your waking sleep cycles and your sleeping sleep cycles are...
Yes, they do not shut off. They both run together. And so my brain literally thinks it's awake and asleep at the same time.
Wow. And when did this first start?
I don't really know. It's been as long as I can remember. I can remember it more in my teenage years. But I know when I was a kid, they did tell me they had trouble making me go to sleep. So I spent lots of hours reading, because my mom didn't mind if we were up reading a book or if we were studying, as long as we were at least in bed attempting to go to sleep.
And how old are you now?
I am 34 now.
Does anyone else in your family have this?
No one else.
Huh. Have you ever met anyone else in the world that has it?
I haven't yet. I'm hoping to. It'd be interesting to sit and talk with someone that goes through the same thing, that understands days becomes weeks, weeks become months, because it all rolls into each other.
Right. Yeah. Just to sit and talk with someone. Boy, you guys would have a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
I would hope so.
Is there any, do they give you medication to help with this, or does it help at all?
They give me Ambien, which it'll work for anywhere from 4 days to a week when it does work. But I only take it every few days or else it quits working, period.
Because you develop a quick immunity toward it?
Yes. They've actually had to double the dosage twice, and we figured it was best for me just to only take it every few days instead of building a tolerance to it.
And when you say it works for 4 days to a week, what does that mean? Are you able to sleep at night or what?
It'll help me fall asleep, but I will only be asleep for a couple hours.
All right. So you were first diagnosed as a teenager? Is that when they actually decided that's what it was?
No, I was first officially diagnosed 3 years ago, and that's when we found out what was going on.
Ah, so was that kind of a relief to know at least the thing had a name?
At that point, no, because I have other medical conditions, and we had kind of attributed it to that. But when we actually had gotten my pain under control and other issues pretty much controlled, that's when we figured we needed to look further into it. And so finding out that it wasn't just the pain or anything else causing it, that's what made the relief for me, was finding out that we did have something that was going on.
Do you have any other unusual health conditions?
Not unusual. I just have a ton of other ones, and nobody else in my family has any of them.
So what else is going on that would add to your lack of being able to sleep?
Here's the list. I have migraines, seizures, I have fibromyalgia, degenerative disc disease, of course, the hyperinsomnia unspecified, and I know I'm forgetting something else. I don't remember what the other one was. I'll think of it at some point.
Well, just the ones you said already, that's quite a list.
It's a lot to handle, knowing that it's not just one thing, it's a group of things that we're trying to deal with all at one time.
Right. And medication for one might negate the medication for another or interact negatively somehow, right?
Actually, my doctors have been really amazing and done the research into what medications we can and can't use. It's not just for what can actually not make another work, but what can react to others. So we've done lots of research to find things that will work for me. And my doctors have worked with each other, which has worked, been a really good thing for us.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's their job, sort of, right?
Well, I have found some of my doctors didn't want to communicate with the others. They just wanted to deal with the one problem. So I did take the time and work to find one that would be willing to look at my other records really well and actually make phone calls when we hit a stump on what to do next.
That's good. It's good that you found a good one. So what do you do with all your time? I mean, you don't have to spend 8 hours a night sleeping. How do you fill all that time?
This is a question I'm actually used to. I read a lot. I play video games. I have binge watched all my favorite shows. Not really much else. Right now, I'm picking up a new hobby. My grandma was a seamstress. She taught me how to sew when I was little. So I'm picking that back up again. And after 15 years, it's frustrating, but I have at least the time to work on things.
I guess, yeah. Do you listen to podcasts at all?
Actually, I don't. I've listened to one. I've got a friend that does them. And every time I sit down to start listening to one, I'm like, ooh, I want to go read this. And so I haven't sat down. I've listened to one of his, and that's it so far.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you something. If you're not familiar with podcasts, obviously you will be now, having been on one. But there's a whole new world out there for you to explore. And almost any topic you can think of, there's probably a podcast on this subject. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So maybe something you could look into.
I think that is something I'm going to look into.
Definitely. Yeah. I'd love to hear if you find anything. Do you ever lose track of time or what day it is?
All the time. I will sit here and think it's Friday. No, it's Tuesday. I will think it's Wednesday and it's Thursday. But funny enough, on Tuesday, I was texting my sister and telling her I was going to be coming up on Wednesday to come see her. She goes, it's Wednesday. Why aren't you here? I was like, it's Tuesday. And she looked and goes, and I said, it's Tuesday. And she goes, oh, well, I thought it was Wednesday all day. So
wow.
It's funny the days I can correct her because she's used to me being wrong most of the time.
What can you do to make yourself sleepy?
I've actually done a lot of yoga and meditation is kind of what I do to help try to shut my brain down. Before I got injured with my back and neck, I used to work out a lot. I used to go to the gym every night. I took Zumba classes and I ran 4.5 miles a day. I played soccer or I worked with my horses because I used to show horses. Mostly working out just to wear my body down because if I can get it worn down enough, I could sleep a little. And normally it was the same, only a couple hours. But the worst thing is now I can't do those hard workouts. I can't go jog. I can't play soccer. So I'm working on trying to find other things that will help me sleep now.
So you can't do those other activities because of the other health conditions?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so I wonder what else you could do, though. I mean, what else can you do? I mean, obviously, it has to be something physically tiring.
That's the thing we've been trying to find out. I'm on a weight limit of 20 pounds, so I can't do the heavy weights. I can't do a lot of what I'd use for body resistance tour. But we're trying to find something. I'm working on yoga right now, which is something that kind of helps a little. I can use it to kind of not think about anything else. I can just shut my brain down some, so that helps a lot.
What about a treadmill? Would that be too high impact?
I have a really bad knee, and we've already had meniscus surgery done on it once, but it still has other issues that jogging is just not plausible anymore.
Okay. Or even what about just walking, though? I mean, of course, you got to use your knee for that, too.
I take my dog on a walk every morning. We do 2.5 miles a day. So that wears me out a little bit. I get home and I am tired.
Good. Well, that's a good direction to be in anyway, then. Are you able to have a job?
No, because of the seizures, I am on a no-drive order.
Oh, because, yeah, of course.
Yes. That really has messed me up with things. It's hard because I have to have someone else drive me to doctor's appointments, someone else take me where I need to go to pick up medication.
Oh, yeah, because with seizures, it would be dangerous to drive, obviously.
Yes. I actually, before I was fully officially diagnosed, I did have one issue. I got in a fender bender. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but that was kind of a wake-up call that something was really wrong.
You know, when I looked up the name hyperinsomnia, just to do a little bit of research before our conversation, I found that there's a lot of information on hypersomnia, which of course is excessive sleepiness. But, and actually, even when I did a Google search, the first thing on the Google search result says, didn't you mean to search for hypersomnia? But no, but for hyperinsomnia, doesn't seem like there's a whole lot available.
There's not. It's because it goes under, it's one of the 14 types of insomnia. So it lays underneath that. And even if you look at my medical records, they have the hyperinsomnia and chronic insomnia, and then there's two more types that go along with it. And that's why they put me under the unspecified, because it's all layered together with me.
Okay, now I'm curious, what's the difference between hyperinsomnia and chronic insomnia?
Chronic insomnia is where you can go over, where the insomnia lasts for months at a time. So it's people who, it's constant with them and it never goes away. I wish I had wrote it down and had it in front of me. There are multiple types. On my Reddit thread that I did, I actually have a link on there to the hyperinsomnia, and it goes into the different types.
Okay, so there's a bunch of different types of insomnia, and I'll get that from you, and we'll put that in the show notes as well. So in case people want to look at that.
It's actually a website. It's called a Sleepopolis that goes into it and explains all of them.
What was it called again?
Sleepopolis? I might be pronouncing that wrong, but I have it on me and I can send it to you.
Okay. All right. I'll put all that in the show notes then. So how many people are, like, as a percentage of the population, or how many people in the world have this? Do you have any idea?
Actually, on that one, I don't have an idea. I think if I had a little bit more of a breakdown on exactly what they would classify me on a little bit better, I could. But just being unspecified, I don't have a clue how many people would be under that category.
Okay. Yeah, because it kind of carries, it's a little broad. Going back just a little bit on our previous question, chronic insomnia sounds like it's worse than hyperinsomnia.
It is, and that's the part that makes me stay up for days on end. That's that section of it. So then once I've been up and up and up, that's when all that sleepiness starts, because I've been up a week long, no sleep, and your body physically just gets so exhausted. Because when I don't sleep, I like to clean. I'm really OCD about things, and everything has to have its place. I mean, I'll spend days when I feel really good and can move around and do things. I'll clean baseboards, or we have display cabinets that I'll break them down, clean, and redo them. So by the end of the day, I've cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And you would expect my brain to shut down and be tired. No, my body's tired, so I'll go lay down in bed all night and just give my body a rest.
But your brain is still fully active.
Yes.
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%, so I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
I made a decision a long time ago. When I'm out riding my bike each morning and I cross paths with someone, I always smile at that person. And most people smile back. But I do it because even though it's a little thing, it makes a big difference for me, and maybe for them. It's just a fact. Small actions can bring big benefits. In the same way, it's also true that taking care of your gut can support the health of the rest of your body. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits not just your gut, but your skin and heart health too. Seed DSO1 is part of my morning routine. If you can call it a routine, it's just two little capsules. And I feel amazing. It helps maintain the health of my heart, and it promotes regularity, which I can attest to. Sorry, that may be a little TMI there. For me, it's great that it's vegan, but it's also sugar-free, soy-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and has no preservatives. It doesn't even need refrigeration. DSO1 has so many benefits, including the fact that it's backed by a lot of science, but I've barely scratched the surface here. What I can say, though, is that my body feels great, and I've got a promo code so you can see the benefits for yourself.
Trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/what and use code 25what to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/what. Code 25what.
This episode is sponsored by Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code what before checkout for 50% off your first week. When Ginny and I go out to eat at some local restaurant, one of the things I love to try is a curry dish. I just love it when a chef can get that perfect balance of spices. It's one of my favorite meals. But even better is to have an amazing curry meal without having to go out, like the one I had recently. It was cauliflower and chickpea coconut curry with steamed jasmine rice. And even though it was created by a professional local chef here in Florida, we enjoyed that meal right here at home, thanks to Cook Unity. And you know what else I love? All the prep and cooking is done for me ahead of time. So all I do is just choose the one I want, and 2 minutes later, I'm enjoying a tasty hot meal. It feels like I'm one of those wealthy podcasters with a chef on staff right here at home. Cook Unity meals arrive fresh, they've never been frozen, all of their packaging is earth-friendly, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. Oh, and you have to try that coconut curry.
Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code WHAT or going to cookunity.com/what.
Do you ever take sleeping pills?
That's what the Ambien is.
Oh, okay. So when you do sleep, do you feel like it's a good quality sleep or is it kind of light?
Actually, even my 20-minute naps feel like they give me tons of energy. But when I do sleep, if it's not that I get the 8 hours sleep, I will go through the whole REM sleep. I have dreams. I have night terrors. When I shut down, it really gets kind of crazy. I'll have some of the most amusing dreams because of it. So I do get really fulfilled sleep.
How do you feel after you wake up after a long sleep? Just like other people or is there something different after that?
I feel like the Energizer Bunny. I have tons of energy and feel like I could go all day long. I will start 20 projects and finish none of them that first day. I'll start something and go, oh, I should do this. And I'll start it in 10 minutes later. Oh, I need to get this done. And I'll run over and start it. And then I'll be like, oh, I need to do this. And by the end of the day, I have all these projects started, but nothing finished. So over the next few days, I have lots to keep me busy.
Yeah, you got a lot to do the next over that week, right?
Yeah.
You must have quite a to-do list.
Well, I'm one of those people that when I think about something needs to be done, just go do it. There's no reason to wait. There's no reason to say, oh, well, I can do it tomorrow. If you get it done now, you don't have to do it tomorrow. So why just get it out of the way?
On the other hand, if you save it for tomorrow, then you have something to do tomorrow, right?
And that is true, but I can always find something to do. Like I said, video games, right now I'm playing Skyrim. I have a dozen different quests I need to finish. So I'll take one day and do one and then go, okay, well, I'm going to reorganize my closet. So I'll take the time to reorganize the closet and leave, you know, like instead of cleaning it all the way, I'll do half of it today and say I can do the other half tomorrow. That way I do have something to do.
Okay. Now, I know the gamers that are listening to this are going to want me to ask, what video games do you like?
I love Skyrim. I started that right now. I'm fixing to restart Tomb Raider on the Wii. That was my first ever love. I have Final Fantasy VIII. That's another one I play a lot. I actually own multiple discs of that one. Let's see. Those are my three big ones right now, but if you can sit me down in front of it, I'll try it. My SO right now is playing Monster Hunter, and I'm getting really into wanting to play that. We play a couple games on the PC. I just blanked out on their names because we were waiting on an update for one, so it's been about a year since we played it. I can't believe I forgot it. But Diablo 3 is another one that is one of my all-time favorites that I've been playing it off and on, especially since they've added some new stuff. So a little bit of everything.
Okay. What's the worst part of having this condition?
Having too much time on my hands. Like with normal people, y'all get hours of sleep, so there's a big chunk of the day that y'all don't do anything. But with me, that big chunk of the day is actually there for time that needs to be filled with something. And that's the hardest thing, is just having too much free time can be a bad thing.
What's the best part?
Having all the time in the world to do anything. And like, you know, most people that sleep, y'all have got 8 to however many hours that your day is gone. But for me, I've got that I can just go get stuff done.
Are you used to it now?
I am. To me, it's everyday life. It's normal. It actually seems weird that people sleep so much.
All right. If they came up with a magical cure for this, would you accept it?
That's a yes and a no question, actually. Yes, because I think it would be a good thing to get some sleep and not seem as tired all the time. It gets lonely when everybody's asleep and I'm not. But also no, because I like having all the extra time, especially when I found a really good book to read and I don't want to put it down, or I found a game that I found a spot that I'm really getting into, or I just got sent to a new dungeon and fixed to run it. I don't have to look at the time and go, oh no, it's 10:30. I've got to go to bed. I got time. I can do this.
That's an interesting situation. Do you have any tips for people that have regular insomnia?
Yoga and meditation, those are the two best things I have found to find some kind of peace from all the just constant running in my head.
Yoga and meditation. And what does meditation look like for you? Is that something you practice daily? And how do you use guided meditation, or how do you do that?
No, I had a friend who was kind of big into it a while back. And her thing was just to sit in a chair, get comfortable, concentrating on breathing slow, and that's it. Just only think about the breathing until there's nothing else going on in your head. And there's days it doesn't do anything. I'm too worried about something, or I'm too stressed or frustrated. But the days that I'm not, I can just really relax. I'll lay my head back and get comfortable, and it'll give me an hour or two of just relaxing. And there have been moments when it helps me, and I just fall asleep and I wake up a little refreshed. It's normally 20, 30 minutes of a nap, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm.
If someone's listening to this and they say, wow, I have unspecified hyperinsomnia. We have the same thing. What would you tell them, or what resources would you send them to maybe get help?
Find a sleep clinic. There's a lot of hospitals have them. Just go to your PCP and tell them, I don't sleep. I'm going days or hours without sleep. Can you please find something for me? Can we get together with the sleep clinic and figure out what's going on?
Okay. Although some sleep clinics, do you think maybe some of them have not even heard of what you have because it's that rare?
Mine's actually kind of amused with me. Because when we did my second sleep study, it was one that I stayed for a week. And my second night in, I was laying there. Like I said, I will try to meditate. And they wanted me to at least attempt to sleep. And they asked me when I got done that third night, they said something was a little different that we noticed. And we looked back and found it. So I asked them what it was. And they said, you lay in the same position for hours on end, but you didn't move. You lay there for 3 hours and not one movement. Anytime we asked you to just switch positions, you did. and the same thing would happen. And they asked me how I did it, and I just told them, you know, I would take the breathing exercises, and that's what I was using to attempt to sleep. And they said they'd actually never seen anybody who could do it without moving at all. So that's the only part of it that really was different for them to see. I would expect being a sleep study, they should see odd cases like this enough to understand or know the unspecified cases or the cases where, like mine, you have a couple of different types of insomnia. So they put it together, and that's where the unspecified came from, or at least for me it did. I don't know how other doctors or clinics would do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we should say on here, neither you or I are doctors, and we're not offering any kind of medical advice. Big yes. Disclaimer there. If people want to contact you, I understand you have a blog?
I do have a blog. It's called Wings for the Win. I had started a few years ago, so it's only got a couple on there now. Somebody actually asked me if I would do a daily one. And so I started that on Monday. I didn't do one last night because I never finished it. I got a little distracted, but I'm working on that right now. And there, I do have it set up where you can ask me anything. You can comment on it and ask. And if you have a specific question that you would like for me to address, I will do that in my next blog after I see your comment.
Okay. And what's the address for that again?
It's on WordPress, and you just have to look up Wings for the Win, and my blog will come up.
And I'll find that link and put that in the show notes as well. So, all right. Well, Samantha, thanks very much. Appreciate you telling your story here today.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to actually be able to get some of this out there, and hopefully I can help somebody else with it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. My goal for each show is to introduce you to people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you want to help support the show, you just need to subscribe, and that way you'll never miss an episode. You can click on any of the subscribe buttons on the website, which is whatwasthatlike.com. You'll see all the links right there at the top where you can subscribe directly to this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or on whatever app you use to catch your podcasts. And you'll see there are also links to Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow us there, and I hope you do. And if you really want to connect with me and get in on the discussion with other listeners to this show, you can join our private Facebook group. You can find that at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. And of course, you can always email me directly at scott@whatwasthatlike.com. Or just go to the website and click on contact. I'd love to hear what you think of this episode or a previous episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show where we'll once again ask the question, what was that like? Hey, this is Scott. Did you know we offer a premium feed of this show that is completely ad-free and there are bonus episodes? Go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus. Or just click the link in the show notes of any episode to learn more and to sign up. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up right there in the app by clicking Try Free at the top of the episode list. And I hope to see you in the premium feed soon.